What is your motivation for enduring in the Christian life? We're going to find out today what Hebrews has to say about that subject. This is Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Really excited that you've decided to join us today. We're coming toward the close of a wonderful series that we've had Dr. Kenneth Yates in the studio for. It's called Hebrews Partners with Christ, and he has a book out by the same name. Let's jump right to today's discussion with Sean, Bob, and Ken. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar, and we're coming to the tail end, the home stretch. Is that the right expression,
Bob?
That's
the right expression, yes.
I'm not familiar with the sports, but the home stretch of this discussion, this in-depth discussion of the book of Hebrews, based on Ken Yates's book, Hebrews, Partners with Christ. Welcome to the studio, Ken.
It's great to be here again.
Well, I've really enjoyed our discussions so far. We have gone over whole chapters in one episode, and sometimes we've gone into more in-depth. And I think in chapter 12, we're going to have to go way in-depth here.
Okay, let's see how it works.
Well, I tell you, his introductory illustration ties right in with Hebrews 12, 1 and 2.
Yes, with all the right, sports illustration, yes.
Well, the sports illustration.
The running illustration in particular, you know.
What are the biblical sports?
They're running and wrestling and boxing.
Yeah.
What else? Anything else?
That's about it.
I mean, even God is a wrestler, right?
Yeah,
with Jacob.
He did wrestle with Jacob and messed up his hip, yeah.
And the author of Hebrews uses that phrase, being exposed with a wrestling hold, earlier in the book.
Yes. That's right. All right, chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, this cloud of witnesses are all the people we just explored in chapter 11, right?
Yes, but what you'll often hear people do is take this verse to refer to our loved ones are in heaven watching us. But you're right, in the context, it has nothing to do with that. In chapter 11, there was a long list of faithful men and women from all walks of life who ran their race well, who were faithful to the Lord. And that is what he means when we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. The word witnesses there is testimony. We have the testimony of their lives that we can look at. We can look at their example. That's the point that the author's making.
It's interesting that we get the English word martyrs from this Greek word for witness.
Yes.
Very interesting. Let us lay aside every weight. Okay, so we're not big on weightlifting then in the New Testament. Or am I? Is that eisegesis right there?
No, that's eisegesis. You don't want to wear real heavy shorts, a real heavy shirt. You don't want any clod-hopping shoes. You don't want to wear your robe when you're running.
Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. There we go. The sports metaphor, that vision of the Christian life, or that comparison of the Christian life with an endurance race. Not just a sprint, but it's like a long-term thing. Now, Bob, you know all about that. I don't know, but Ken, have you done marathons? I know Bob has. Is that something you do?
Well, I always think of a particular time in my life when I was particularly stupid. many years ago, I was stationed in Hawaii, and they were having the 20th anniversary of the Honolulu Marathon, and I was talked into running that marathon, and it was the first and the last time I ever ran a marathon. And the way the author is describing the Christian walk here, first of all, there's a lot of issues here. Number one, as we have said over and over again, the book of Hebrews is not telling people how to go to heaven. This is a book that is talking about running the race. And as you said, Sean, this is one of endurance. And as you look at the words that the author uses, endurance, let us run. And the word for race is the word, we get our word agony from it. Mm. And so, obviously, salvation from hell, receiving eternal life, is a free gift. But the race that the author is exhorting the readers to run is something that takes all of these things. It takes work. Now, of course, it's done through the power that Christ provides. The author has made that very clear, that he's our great high priest. But we must decide to run this race. So we play a role in it in that degree. But when I ran the marathon in Honolulu, I didn't set any records. But one of the things I wanted to do before I ran it was to lay aside every weight. I wanted real thin T-shirt to wear, really lightweight shoes. I thought about wearing a radio to have music to listen to, but I said, no, that'll just add weight to it. And so I didn't do that. And that's what the author is saying here in these first couple verses. That's the way the Christian life is. It's like that kind of a race.
So what kind of weights might weigh us down in the Christian life from running this? He mentions sin, the sin that might ensnare us, but he might have something else in mind.
Well, in the parable of the four soils, the third soil, his effectiveness is greatly reduced because of three things: cares, riches, and the pleasures of life. Mm. And that seems to be very important. The cares we have, riches can actually ensnare us, they can hold us back. And the pleasures of life, not sinful pleasures, just the pleasures of life, whether it's hunting or fishing or golf or basketball or watching sports on TV or watching the movies or, you know, texting on our cell phone. All those things are morally neutral, but if we do them too much, they're ensnaring us.
I think that's a great point, Bob, because he makes a distinction between two things, the weight and the sin. And I think you're right. The weight here, I think he probably has in mind things that are not necessarily sinful, like the things you mentioned. Because remember, earlier in the book, he talks about the fact that we need to, and he's going to talk about it here and later as well, we need to encourage one another. We need to be an example to one another. Well, if I have things that are not inherently sinful, but they're keeping me from assembling with other believers, from studying the scriptures, from ministering to believers in need, then that's going to keep me from doing the things that the book of Hebrews is talking about. And those are like weights that will weigh us down.
Right.
And then, of course, the sin, I'm told, or I've read, that at least sometimes in the first century, they ran races in the nude.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so he has a picture of a guy running with a robe on, and that's what sin will do for us. Sin is like running a race with a robe that gets tangled up in your feet and causes you to trip.
That's the ensnaring he's talking about.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's he's picturing a guy who's running with a robe, and the robe is ensnaring him. And sin is like that. It'll trip you up.
Yes.
Well, it's interesting to me that whose responsibility is it to lay aside these things? Sometimes people pray, and they're like, God, take this away from me. Take this, you know, take this video game addiction away from me, or take these other kind of things that are drains on my time, take them away from me. And we expect God to do it, but it says, he's saying, let us lay aside.
Yes, I think we have a responsibility to look at these things and say, these things are impeding my walk. And again, I'm going to the Lord to give me the grace, strength, and mercy that I need to run this race. He's my high priest, but again, I have a decision to make if I'm going to lay these things aside as well through the grace that he provides me.
Right. So what about verse 2? Verse 2 brings up the Lord, and he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Earlier in the book, he was the captain of our salvation, right?
Right.
He was the captain leading us to be one of his partners in the life to come. But here, I love this. He's the author and finisher of our faith. What's that about?
Yeah, I think it does remind us of chapter 2. And I think the point here is, yes, we have these people in chapter 11. And by the way, later he's going to talk about leaders within the church. We can look at any faithful believer as an example of people who are running the race well. But ultimately, of course, Jesus is the one that we look to. And again, you're right, Bob, this goes back to chapter 2, that he's the one who paved the way. He's the one who finished his race. He's the one who set the example for us to follow, as the author is about to say here. Jesus had a goal in his life, which was to receive a righteous kingdom, to be the heir of all things. And look at what he went through. Look at the difficulties he went through as he trusted in his Father. And certainly he is our example par excellence to look at.
So when it says I know there's some controversy about what does it mean for him to be the author? Is that the right translation there? Is this verse teaching that only Jesus only gives faith to some people?
Well, the Greek word here can be translated author, but it does have other meanings. One meaning is something like he's the originator. He's the one who is the source of our faith. In other words, our faith is sourced in him, and any results from our faith comes from the power he provides.
Yes, I would agree with that. Yeah.
And is this faith in the sense of our personal act of believing, or is this like, is this the faith as in, you know, the body, the Christian doctrine?
Yeah, I don't think it's the faith here of the faith that leads to eternal life, but the faith of how one is to live the life. As we've seen throughout the book of Hebrews, it is faith in the promises that God has given, that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. I think that's the issue here. And Jesus is the example of how we ought to live our Christian life, how we ought to run our race.
Right.
So does this mean, how does he finish our faith? Is he the finisher in the sense that it's his job to perfect our faith, or is he the finisher in the sense that he's just an example for us to follow?
I think the second option that you made there, that he is the one that finished his race. Well, he is the one that brought it to completion. He was the one, when we look at our life and how we are to live, he's the one who is the prime example of the way we're to live.
And notice how that's brought out in the rest of verse 2. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Well, you've got it all right there. Okay, he endured the cross, despising the shame. We're going to have suffering. There's going to be shame. But he did it for the joy set before him. We should do it for the joy set before us. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. According to Revelation 3:21, we will sit with him on his throne, and we will rule with him if we're an overcomer.
And that's exactly what the author of Hebrews is saying. And again, when we look at the context of the original readers, they were going through a difficulty. No doubt there was some shame involved as being followers of Christ. That's why they were thinking about renouncing their faith. But all they need to do is look at Christ, because like you said, Bob, the joy is the same. He has a kingdom. We can share that reign in that kingdom with him.
Right, and I think one point each of us can take to heart is this. Some people say, I think being motivated by eternal rewards is a wrong motivation. Well, if so, then Jesus was wrongly motivated, because he endured the cross for the joy set before him, and he commanded us to lay up treasure in heaven. He commanded us to be people who were faithful so that we would rule and reign with him. So the call for us is to endure in the race that's set before us. And if we do, one day soon, we'll hear the Lord Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant."
Thanks, Ken, Bob, and Sean, for that great discussion on what it means to endure and what our motivation ought to be to do it. Do you like what you're learning on the show? Well, there's more where that came from. We would love for you to come visit us at our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free resources on our site. One of which is really popular, is our free magazine. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color and it's completely free. Subscribe on the website and it will show up in your mailbox hassle-free. It's faithalone.org. You ever have one of those questions that keeps you up at night? I know that I do sometimes. Well, if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, we want to hear from you. Send us a message at radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about how we can learn to accept God's discipline. You don't want to miss out on that episode. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until tomorrow, let's keep grace in focus.